We need to pull some holdout maneuvers.
Hello, welcome back to the Hold Maneuver Podcast. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mike. We're two hardworking dads trying to immerse ourselves in Star Wars and fit it into our very busy lives.
This is your first time listening and or watching. In this podcast, we'll share our thoughts on different topics from a galaxy far, far away.
So I got a joke about clones for you guys.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, never mind. You just copy it.
Okay, there you go. And as you can see, we also have a clone today. We've gone from one Michael to two Michaels. So to differentiate this, I will call the one to my camera left, my right, and then the one above me, two different things. So this is Michael up here, and then this is Mike over here. And if you're listening to this is just going to be confusing.
You'll know the difference when we talk.
Yeah. But anyways, Michael Lee's been here before. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much, and welcome back. You can call me, I guess, Michael Red, I guess, because I'm way red. Right. So,
red shirt. Yeah. That's a different fandom.
The red.
But yeah, I figured this would be a good one for you, because I know, because we're going to be, so this is, we're talking about The Bad Batch Season 3, mm-hmm. calling this Part 1, it's Episodes 1 through 7. And you had actually been, yeah, and you had been sent what, the first 7 or 8 episodes, Michael?
8 episodes, yeah.
Okay, so you know what happens immediately after the the one that was released this week. Okay.
Pretty much.
How did you get those so soon?
Wow. For review purposes, from Disney. I'll just keep it at that.
We're trying to get there.
Yeah. But yeah, so I figured it would be appropriate to have you on for this one to see what we can talk about and get going on this one. So what did you guys think so far of this first half of the season? Whoever wants to go first with this.
I'll defer to our guest. Let him go first.
Okay. So what I thought these were more of a focused storyline, because there seems to be more of an interconnected overarching plot going on, rather than, you know, the mission of the week thing that happened in the first two episodes, the first two seasons. And what I like about it is it seems to be more mature, and because Omega's kind of in a dire situation. She's in prison, and she only has Crosshairs to rely on, and we all know what that dynamic is like, because Crosshairs betrayed the team earlier in the first two seasons, until he had that kind of sudden realization that he's on the wrong side. What I think it's just a more mature season overall so far. I like the fresh dynamics that go into kind of preparing the team. Also, that echoes that happened. So it's like testing. It's testing what happened to the Bad Batch. Not that they're broken, reassembled, but assembled with parts that have some kind of a history with each other. So it's really refreshing to see how sort of back together, but not really.
Yeah.
I echo a lot of that, because my problem with Bad Batch was that, like, for lack of a better word, A-team feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one, it's like, it feels like, okay, this drama makes more sense to me. Like, they're trying to escape this prison, reunite with their troop, and defeat the Empire at the same time, instead of, oh, we're every week, join us for a new mystery type deal.
If you have a problem, like, maybe they can help.
Right.
You.
Like, I was just waiting for the dun, 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 and then the van to pull up. Dun, dun, dun.
Get a John Williams mix on that. Yeah.
There you go.
That'd be kind of funny. Get like the paint, like pinstripe going on the side of their ship. So it looks kind of like the A-Team van.
Right. Yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised by that, because Bad Batch, the first two seasons were a hard watch for me, because I was just like, I couldn't buy into it. I couldn't. Then now I'm like, if this had been what it was from the beginning, I would have definitely been more into it than what I was. So
that's almost kind of usually like the MO, but kind of what happens at least with a lot of the series, like in the past, I don't know, like 10 years or so, is like where that first, it kind of, like the shows almost kind of age with the audience watching it, where like that first season is like aimed at like the youngest version of that audience possible.
Okay.
And as the seasons go on, it kind of ages up between that. That happened with Clone Wars, happened with Rebels. Seems to kind of happening with this as well too. And with what you were saying there too, like this last season feels very similar in tone almost to Rebels, like that too, because like the Batch is now kind of like their own ghost crew essentially within this, because you can kind of see like Omega, right. There's kind of Ezra within this one, so you know, and then you can have like Wrecker is Zeb. I know Mike hasn't watched Rebels, so some of the stuff I'm saying, you're like, yeah. What? All right. But
I get what you're saying.
You can kind of like change like some of those parts out. Like Tech, I guess, would have been maybe closer to like Hera, but Hera's still alive. Although there's some theories,
you never know.
That people have about a character we saw in the 7th episode, which I don't know if Michael knows anymore beyond because he's seen episode 8.
Do we throw this up?
Oh yeah,
you can throw it up right there. Yeah.
So I guess you might have to tiptoe around some things that you might know from the next episode, or you can't really speculate. Honestly, I guess in a way.
I'll say this. If I recall, it's been a while. I just. When I watched the 8, I figured I'm not going to rewatch it again just to save time and everything like that for myself. But if I recall, there are two people on the Bad Batch that are doing hiring that need help for information, as far as I remember. Yeah. So I'll just leave it at that. Badly explained thoughts. Explained badly.
Interesting. Yeah, because this 7th episode, I mean, we'll get in a little bit to each of them, but like the 7th episode ended essentially with like this face-off more or less between Wolf and the Bad Batch on either side, and then the Bad Batch leaving the planet Teth.
Yes.
And I don't have a lisp, but Teth from the Clone Wars.
Cantus, as I seem to say every time in this.
Cantus, yeah.
But yeah. There was like extra S's on the end of Tantus.
Yeah, for people recognize that it's the planet from the Clone Wars movie, where they had to go save Stinky, aka Jabba's. I can't remember. Was that Jabba's nephew? I know it was a
hut. Was he friends with Lumpy?
Yeah, it was a hut baby. Yeah. Yeah, Stinky, Lumpy, Scratchy.
Yeah. Itchy.
Yeah, so episode 8 basically is members of the Bad Batch kind of reluctantly meet up with a former person someone they met, cross paths with, and they require their help. So that's it. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, there's some characters in this too that I couldn't remember if they were from earlier seasons of Bad Batch or if they were from the last season of Clone Wars. It was the two senators that we saw in the 7th episode.
Yes.
And I couldn't, and in Sing my
and singing. Who was the young girl?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember. Like, it kind of blended together. Were those characters in Clone Wars, or were they in earlier seasons of Bad Batch?
As far as I remember, they were earlier seasons of Bad Batch. But they could have been in Clone Wars, too, but I remember seeing them in Bad Batch.
Okay. And we still haven't seen, unless the person that you're talking about is, or keep hinting at, is the one that we saw in the trailer, that we hasn't shown up yet, Saoirse Ventress.
That's another, yeah, I'll say that, I'll confirm. It's in the trailer.
Yeah.
But it's not who you think it is. That makes sense.
Interesting. Okay.
I can tell you guys if you want to know after, like, you know.
Okay.
Perhaps.
We'll hear that off mic, as it were. So I guess what we can kind of do too is, because I have like very small blurbs for each of these episodes. Mm. So for like the first one, was confined, and that one, I'll just quickly read through this one, was following her capture by Dr. Hemlock, Omega adjusts to life at the Imperial Research Facility by visiting her prisoner brother Crosshair and getting chips from her mysterious and stoic clone sister, Dr. Emery Carr. Omega passes the time by creating herself a Tuca doll, befriends an imprisoned Lurka hound she affectionately names Batcher. Though she is not bound to her quarters, the young clone is determined to escape the oppressive facility with Crosshair, does not believe it's possible. Meanwhile, Hemlock continues the Kamonian scientist Nala Se in her cloning work, hinting at further danger for Omega. So what I kind of liked too about what they did in this, like the premiere, because they played the first two, or was it three episodes?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I liked that they did that, because this first one was like very centered on Omega and Crosshair. And then the one following this was Hunter and Wrecker. So we kind of saw what both sides of like this coin were doing during that time. And then in that third episode two, then we kind of got the ball rolling where we saw how the, with like that, you know, trying to make their escape from Tantus. So I thought that was like a good choice of playing those three episodes out like that, because it was like this kind of good beat by beat like arc to push through all of those. What did you guys kind of think of these first three episodes as like their own thing?
Okay, so
go ahead.
I have to agree. It's pretty much letting us see what each individual, what the pairs can do without each other to rely on, because Omega had so much relied on, even though she's a capable character, she kind of relied on Wrecker and Hunter because they're more muscular and they have far more experience. And then she doesn't have them to rely on. She only has Crosshair, who doesn't really respect her in the way, because his mission was to capture her all this time, and now he doesn't understand really what this new dynamic is like, because he now is a prisoner himself. And for Hunter and Wrecker, they kind of relied on Omega because she was tall in stature, so she could kind of weave her way in and out of small situations. And she was kind of outside the box thinking as well. So they don't have that. So those first two episodes relied on what I was saying before, that's kind of a fractured dynamic storytelling. So as you were saying, Mark, it's really interesting to see how they explored that, and I think they did a good job.
Yeah. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, it was a great pairing. It was a good story. Probably could have been one episode, but I understand why they elongated it. You got some character traits in there that Omega's learning how to lead and how to take control and how to be self-sufficient, if you will. Ooh. She's also learning more about her past.
Yeah.
Because she has a sister now, and you get I don't know if this in this series we these three episode series we hear about the M1, I believe is what they kept calling it.
Oh, like the M count, yeah.
Yeah, M count.
Just,
yeah, M
just
count.
Like a different way of basically talking about midichlorians without saying the word right. Midichlorians, I guess.
So I was like, oh, they're just gonna, is that the word we don't say, like Voldemort all of a sudden? Like
it's taboo, yeah.
Yeah.
The midichlorians anymore.
Or one I guess thing it I sounds more scientific, be like,
right.
M count is so high.
One thing that it was bothering me when I was watching it, I was like, Omega looks different to me. And I don't.
I think. So they don't really say, they just, but it's kind of like implied that, like, there's been like a very good passage of time. Like, you don't know how long.
She hints at it because she scratches. Like little kicks on the wall.
But what yeah. But then it hit me like a ton of bricks one time. I'm trying to get my screen to share. One second. And this is who Omega reminds me of.
Ah.
From Team America World Police. I was like, it looks almost identical to me. I'm almost like, I can't get it out of my head now. So. Yeah. That's where I was at. And I was just like laughing to myself about that.
Oh man!
Do you think it has to do with the lighting situation?
Probably.
It seems like Tantus is just dark. And
a lot of Bad Batches everywhere they go seems really dark. I feel.
Oh yeah, it's kind of a rough show to try to watch in a well lit room.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a tough time. I was going to say I feel like I watch this in the dark.
Yeah, you have to like go to a room that like the curtains are kind of drawn, or like wait until night to watch it or something, so that you can actually see what's going on the screen.
Yeah, so that was a struggle for sure.
Very moodily lit show, basically.
It was a good little 3-episode arc. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it was pleasant because all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're not mercenaries. It's like story centric to them, not like, oh, we put ourselves in this situation, we gotta get ourselves out. Like,
yeah, someone hired us to do the thing. Yeah, so, yeah,
because like nice. Even that second episode, Sundown, like where we even begin with Hunter and Rucker, and that you feel like you would have maybe in past seasons maybe saw like this entire thing where they
mm-hmm.
did this job to deliver somebody. Whereas like that was already where we start with them in the beginning of the episode. So it was just like coming in late, getting out early, and just pushing on from there. And then like in that third episode too, with the Shadows of Tantus, we get Palpatine showing up again.
Somehow he returns.
Yeah. Well, they talk about like, what was it? Project Necromancer in that too, which, I think we've heard about that in Mando.
Yeah, I think that was toward the end, right?
Yeah, so they're laying a bunch of this groundwork for the somehow that'll eventually be, because it seems like way, way, way back, even just after the very close to post Revenge of the Sith era, Palpatine was already like, all right, I need this backup plan for myself in case I got this new apprentice Vader over here, but if I somehow die, I need a backup of me, and I need redundancies I need to be able to still be able to use the Force. That's why I need to have transfer this M count onto these clones. This ain't no joke or no Snoke.
And they also mention, don't they do the Palpatine thing in Ahsoka when Ezra and Sabine first get back together? Doesn't she like make some reference to like Palpatine's dead, or oh, so they say, or something like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, Palpatine was killed. It's like, at least that's what everyone says. Which I guess could be, I mean, from like their point of view, nobody else was there besides Luke.
Right.
Yeah, and Vader. So it's all like just hearsay to literally anybody else that would have heard about.
It's literally a game of telephone because they're doing things.
Although, according to the end of Return of Jedi, that news traveled pretty quick because you see everybody celebrating all around the galaxy pretty quickly, toppling over statues of Palpatine and on Coruscant. Yeah. Saying we's a free. But yeah, I like you're saying too, is like these first episodes work really well, kind of like how they did that with Andor too, where they released the first episodes of that show to kind of, you know, get you in and getting the ball rolling on that. So, and then what's nice too is that we have Ian McDiarmid coming back here as Palpatine too. And
he will never get away from it.
In that third episode too, we kind of are hinted that, or it's been kind of implied a bit from the past two seasons, but that Omega does have some kind of M count within her, and that she was special within like the clones that, like Nala say, worked on. So it seems like there's some kind of force sensitivity or some kind of innate M count ability like within Mega that they haven't really pushed too much more yet on. Just other than like that seems to be why the Empire is so steadfast in trying to get hers, because this is the first time this M count transfer worked, so we really need her to see how we can duplicate that, for lack of a better term, again.
Right.
And see, yeah, Nala Say knows it worked, so that's why she's protecting her.
Yeah, and had been destroying like all of the past samples. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting there too. And then like even like an episode after the one where Crosshair and Omega escape in the fourth episode in a different approach, you see like Omega, Crosshair, and Batcher. Basically, this one reminded me kind of, I don't remember which, I think it was like the third or fourth episode of Obi-Wan, where he's like on that kind of Blade Runner-esque planet, where it's just like this very kind of, you know, it seems like it's always raining type of planet, like
just kind the of underbelly like the planet.
Yeah,
more or less.
And you see like what they have to do, like where she is really good at playing. She's basically like hustles playing cards in this, and then, you know, wins way out there. But and we can kind of see like this dynamic between Crosshair and Omega here too, where like she's very much needs to go save Batcher, and Crosshair still like, no, we can leave right now, like
yeah,
Batcher will be cool. But so I like seeing that dynamic too, and like how she's kind of slowly you know,
she is his older sister
technically. That's true. Which I wonder if they'll ever kind of go more into that, as far as like any kind of discussion between her and the rest of the Bad Batch. And that almost seems like almost like a philosophical discussion for them to have in some ways, that like, even though she's older than them, it's kind of like the Robin Williams movie Jack, in a way, where like they had the, you know, the growth and age progression done to them. So by the time they're like very old clones, she'll maybe like appear to be the age that they are now.
Yeah.
When they're reaching essentially the end of their life. So almost like they almost have to, and that seems like that could be like some kind of discussion that they could have, since they have become like this family, even though she's technically older than them, but in body she's, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
That could be, I don't know how they would go about doing that, like with an episode, but that seems like that could be some kind of an interesting subject matter to bring up in some way.
Instead of a mission of grief. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going on a mission. We're going to talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah. And so we also, and by the end of this episode, to the different approach 1-2, that's where we finally see Omega and Crosshair team, or, you know, finally meet back up with Wrecker and Hunter here too. So we get kind of that like emotional reunion between all of them. And, but, you know, Crosshair's like still like standing way far back because.
Yeah, he knows that he's not welcome.
Yeah, or at least that it's can be awkward as hell. So hey, you guys remember when I was trying to kill you? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when I knew that I had a tip in my head and pulled it out and still wanted to kill you?
Yeah, because he's like, good soldier follows orders. So that's what I was dealing with. But yeah, I thought that, like, that inch. And then we get this episode after that and the return in the fifth episode where, like, the team regroups on that kind of like this oasis like world that we've met or not met, you know, that we saw last to see Abu. Crosshair's basically struggling to regain the trust of Hunter and Wrecker there. And then Echo showed back up to that info on Dr. Hemlock and the facility on Tantus, because even though Omega and Crosshair were there for so long, they don't really know where Mount Tantus or that planet is. They're trying to basically find their way back to that and see what they can do to get there. And in order to do that, they go back to that, like the icy outpost, from the Solitary Clone episode from last season, which was a great episode. It was basically the one, you know, like where Crosshair's like, oh crap, I should this is not
sudden realization.
Yeah, oh no, yeah. I mean I've made a terrible mistake. So this is it was cool to see that and like how it kind of forced them all to work together again, like in that episode. Have to basically gain that trust again with one another.
Right. What did you Dave Filoni loves him some Sarlacc type creatures, I feel.
I like the like underground.
Yeah.
Large.
Yeah.
He really likes those large worms and hyperspace shots. So it's like, you kind of knew something was going to happen when they're like, oh, those perimeters are to keep whatever. And they're like, okay, let's turn them off. And then the second they mentioned them, I was like, they're going to turn them off. Something's going to happen. And that's going to be the episode.
They're on for a reason.
Right.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
And then I had Jurassic Park moments where they're like, we got to go all the way across this facility to turn on the fuse box.
Yeah.
I was waiting for someone to say, hold on to your butts.
Mace Windu wasn't there to say that.
He wants to be. Sam Jackson wants to come back.
Yeah, he's Mace is alive.
An arm pops out, basically a severed arm.
Oh yeah. Oh man, yeah, it's an arm holding a purple lightsaber.
Purple lightsaber. I still ignited purple lightsaber.
Yeah, that has the encryption BAMF on it.
Right.
There we go.
Although if you do buy Mace Windu's lightsaber from Disney, it will not say that on it. It only says that on Sam Jackson's version.
That's an aftermarket add-on.
Yeah.
Disney should be waiting service on that.
They can do that. Hey Disney, another way for you to make money, you can just like when people make their lightsaber hilts over there in Galaxy's Edge, you could then offer
$100 a letter.
Yeah. Get encrypted.
BAMF.
Yeah, I got mine over here, just chilling out. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think this is like a very strong opening, like the first half to the season too. And there's been like a lot of good like little Easter eggs to things that are like we said, like with Teth from the Clone Wars movie, and we've seen Rex show back up. We also had Wolf, there's a mention of Gregor, too, so if, like, people, again, have watched Rebels, Rex, Gregor, and, it was Wolf, too, right? So, that was the group of, the three older clones that...
As far as I remember, yeah.
The Rebels come up. So we know at some point, these are the three that are, like, we know Rex and at least Wolf, patch... some kind of thing up with one another sometime within the next 20 years or so. I don't know how much more we'll like see by the end of the season, like where in the timeline this will kind of end within this final season, because they've already had kind of so much of like that time progress off screen in between season 2 and 3. And then even while we've been doing our Imperial March Madness thing, I've noticed, like, when looking for like Bad Batch art too, just remembering like what Omega looked like in season 1, like with her headdress and like super short hair and everything, and that to like
now she's a member of Team America.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's got the long hair, like the kind of like side ponytail pulled back thing going on, so it's. It's interesting, subtle aging in characters that you don't really notice until if you go back and kind of like, I mean, I guess that's like the same thing with like kids in general. It's like you don't really notice.
Well, yeah, you forget because
until you all like, of a sudden go back and look at a picture,
7 foot like, tall and
yeah, have a beard.
But, picking up habits like
yeah,
like, wait a minute. We were only together for how long? And then we were just picking up the tablets.
Right. Now, I guess here we can kind of come up with speculation, and I guess the best of your ability out. Because, I mean, you can still speculate from 9 to 15, but, what do we think is going to happen by the series finale of this, do we think somehow Tech returns? Did Tech already return in this episode, possibly? Because that seems to be a theory some people have, is that that new clone that was going after them.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Because someone also posted there's that shot of this like clone that was going after them in this. That was like a
clone Ormo. X or something like that.
Yeah, they were
CX2.
Yeah, CX2. Got a cool name like that. But like there was like a thermo, like scan, and the legs looked like they were possibly like mechanical, or had been like they weren't organic legs, but they had been like replaced, much in the same way as like most of Anakin's appendages on his bodies. His body have been replaced with, the mechanical arms and legs and whatnot. So possibly someone that fell from a great height and needed their legs replaced. He got magic legs like Lieutenant Dan.
ice cream, Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan, you got your magic legs. But
oh, Forrest.
Yeah, Omega sees Tech come back. She's like, Tech, you got your magic legs. Or actually, that feels something more like Wrecker would maybe say. He'd be like, oh, Tech, you got your magic legs.
He is the Forrest Gump of the group, yes.
That's true.
Yeah, and where he's a big, lovable dude. So I guess what would be like your speculation, I guess, to what you... either to like what you'd personally like to see by the series finale of the show, or what you think will happen by the series finale of the show. Michael or Mike, whoever would like to go first.
I'll defer.
I guess the most obvious answer is we'll get more answers as to what Project Necromancer is in that realm, at least, because we all know what it is. But
yeah, the
characters in that world,
they're like, if they'll find out what it is,
right?
Yeah, they'll know what it is, and yeah.
Somehow we find out.
Well, so how they really find out, but we'll also get to know what Ventress is doing. Like, for Ventress is in there, right? The one with the two lightsabers that we saw.
Yeah, and she's got like kind of like this Flock of Seagulls haircut in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll Flock of Seagulls.
Not 90s Tony Hawk haircut.
We did a 360 flip kick.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that'd be awesome.
Asajj Ventress just did a 900. I mean, Darth Maul was in one of the Tony Hawk video games.
Not in the 90s, though.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
They should totally do that. Instead of lightsaber duels, they should, lightsaber flipping and spinning.
Yeah. I think Jango Fett was in one of them, too.
Oh, probably.
Probably.
They got Tony Hawk 2 or later, I'd say.
Yeah, I know for sure Darth Maul was in one of them, but I don't remember if I think it was either Jango or Boba Fett was in one of them too, but that's besides the point.
He was in Pro Skater 4, Jango Fett.
Okay, yeah. See, there you go.
Okay, there you go.
So yeah, you can.
And Darth Maul was in 3.
Yeah, but they're not in the remastered PS5 versions.
Skateboards or hoverboards and
they just have like regular skateboards in it, which is kind of a bummer. I wish they'd added Marty. This is a weird tangent, but I wish in one of the Tony Hawk games they had added Marty McFly as a skateboarder, because I was like, give Marty either, can you have variations of Marty? You could give him the 50s bare bones wooden skateboard, or you give him the 80s skateboard, or you give him the 2015 hoverboard.
See? People,
these are ideas, Tony Hawk.
Videos and pictures of people creating them.
I'm sure there's probably mods people made to PC versions of it too, where they're like, oh,
yeah,
but
yeah, totally do that now.
So, series finale of Bad Batch. Asajj Ventress does a 900, takes out Hemlock by smacking him in the face with the skateboard as she's doing a 900.
If Dave Filoni's still listening, you can do it.
You can have these ideas. You can have these ideas for free.
Just vote in our polls.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. Dave Filoni, vote in our polls, please.
There you go.
Yeah. Just more answers.
If I had to guess what's going to happen, I don't know 100%, but I feel like Crosshairs is going to have to sacrifice himself for the group in some fashion. I think that's what they're building towards.
Yeah, they're already kind of implying something's going on with him too, like that something is either like decaying, or like those experiments that they were running on him did something to him.
A result.
Maybe he's got an M count.
Maybe
the whole entire Bad Batch has an M count, and like because they're defective, that's why it could have. Yeah, but effective. That M count was able to attach itself to each of them, and this entire time they didn't know.
Or one of them will accidentally force pull something and. We'll cut to created by Dave Filoni.
There you go.
They have the force.
And somehow that's how Tech survived, was like, as he was falling, he just slowed himself down enough where he just just got broken legs and had to get the magic legs.
Do it.
ByVoicy.net.
Whoa.
What was that?
Not a sponsor. I don't know. But yeah, I think one of the things I would like to see by the end of the season is I'd like if there's some kind of resolution with the Bad Batch as to just because, like I said earlier, like we know Rex, Gregor, and Wolf are like these three clones all by themselves, like off somewhere. So like we kind of know by the end of the season that I feel like the end of the season, this is essentially going to be them getting, although this seems like 9 more episodes to do that is going to be like a long time, but I thought maybe like by the end of the season that's when they get the rest of those clones out of Tantus. But that seems like that would be drawn out way too long if they're waiting until the finale to do that, possibly. I feel like
maybe they'll have like Sophie's choice it and either blow up Tantus or save the clones.
Yeah, or like maybe possibly like the show ends with the Batch and Omega like on this Pabu planet, you know, just like living out the rest of their days there, like, and they just choose not to go after the Empire and whatnot, since we don't see them any later on in the timeline. So they're kind of like in a corner with that, where that as far as they're like, oh yeah, they're still alive, they're just over there.
There's a clone planet out there where everyone looks alike, and
they're on planet Minkus with with Mr. Turner and
Cara Dune.
They all went to a farm.
Yeah. Cara Dune's over there. That's where all these characters.
Sorry.
That's where Kang is. You know,
Kang. Oh, jeez.
Different. I mean, in the multiverse of possibilities, there is a Kang in the Star Wars universe too.
It's true. It could happen.
But yeah, I don't know. I think, as with most past Star Wars animated series like this, the series finale to it will have like hints of hope, as well as kind of, you know, be kind of like a downer in some ways, just because we know Clone Wars had to end in a very downer fashion, which also had Rex in the finale to that one, just because you knew where Clone Wars had to end for that. Rebels in the lead up to the finale had some very tough stuff happen leading up to the finale there, and then like the ending to that was also kind of bittersweet too, with what Ezra did at the end of that, which, spoiler, we know he's okay now because of Ahsoka, but
then so, it repeated what it did in the planet anyways, like, okay.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting, I guess, to see like what they do for the finale of Bad Batch, because I feel like it's gonna have to have like ride the line there somewhere of being both hopeful and sad at the same time. So like you were saying, like there'll probably be something with Crosshair somewhere near the end of the season where he's got to do something to help the rest of the group, so we'll lose another Bad Batch member.
Right.
Maybe we didn't, but like we said, maybe we didn't lose Tech. Maybe somehow Tech will return, or maybe it'll throw us way off, and it'll be like Wrecker or Hunter is the one that like sacrifices themselves, because Hunter is almost kind of like he's not really like the lead, but like he's like the most like dad like to Omega in some way, so that would almost be, I guess, the most sad if he were to sacrifice himself for Omega. But I think at least as far for me, I think that's probably what will happen for the end of this season. But I think as far as that, I think that's a good place to probably wrap up for this. Was there any anything you wanted to plug or for people to check out or where they can find you online, Michael?
Yeah, you can find me on all socials at I am Michael J. Lee. That's TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, or whatever you call it. I also write for That's It LA, The Nerd's Color, and Live Entertainment. So, yeah.
Nice. And then as far as for us, you can find us at holdamaneuver.com, or if you can't spell maneuver, you can also find us at holdapod.com. I made it easy for you. We've been doing the Imperial March Madness bracket.
With shocking results.
Yeah. Well, or in some cases, or in sadly some cases, not so shocking results for what the internet chooses for what should win in a poll against The Last Jedi versus the Star Wars Holiday Special. I'll just leave it at that. but yeah. So if you haven't already checked that out, and what's been kind of cool is in the past, what, like 2 weeks since we started that, we've gained like about 100 subscribers from just doing that poll, or not poll, but like the bracket for it. So if you're the first time listening to this or watching this episode since then, welcome. And then you can find us online everywhere. Yeah, all of those social places.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, at holdopod.com. And then you can follow myself and Mike and all those places just by looking up our names there, too. And email us at holdopod@gmail.com. But, as always, we are grateful to George Lucas for creating the Star Wars universe.
Oh my, thank the maker.